A full hour after leaving the lab, I entered the terminal at Dorval Airport. Anne had cleared customs and was standing at the end of a chute of people awaiting arrivals. I did the windmill thing with my arms. Catching sight of me, Anne grasped the pull handle of a boxcar-sized suitcase and wheeled it in my direction. A laptop hung from one shoulder, an enormous leather purse from the other. Anne is very tall and very blonde. More eyes than mine followed as she muscled her Pullman through the crowd of greeters. Reaching me, she bent and threw both arms around my neck. The laptop slid forward and gouged my ribs. "Traffic was a nightmare," I said, relieving Anne of her shoulder gear.
"You're a darling to come for me. The pilot claimed it was 18 below. Can that be true?"
"That's Celsius." I didn't point out that the reading was only a hair above zero in her worldview.
"I hope there's a blizzard. Snow would be a kick."
"Did you bring warm clothing?" Anne spread both arms in a check-it-out gesture. My friend wore a cable-knit sweater, suede jacket, green cords, and pink Angora muffler with matching hat. Anne was dressed for an autumn cool in the Blue Ridge Mountains. She talked around topics on the drive to Centreville. Her cats, Regis and Kathy Lee, the twins, Josh and Lola, her youngest son, Stuart, who'd become a spokesman for gay rights. Between bursts, she'd stop, and a moody silence would fill the small space around us. She uttered not a word about the reason for her visit. "Okay, old friend, tell the tale when you will." An hour and a half later, Anne began meandering through an explanation. We'd stopped at home to deposit Anne's things, and we're now in the Trattoria Trastevere on Lower Crescent.